Fantastic. Tisket.
In a tasket.
And a biscuit.
In a basket.
Yeah.
Casket.
Oh, all things end in death. Just a friendly reminder.
I thought this episode was called, or you know how the thing is like a bit on a basket. I read it, the sign, because it's in a weird font. I thought it was kid in a casket. And I was like, oh my God. What a weird way to start the episode.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys.
Yeah. I'm Dimmy.
I'm Kevin. And we're
the Gilmore guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, I will say this is one of the biggest episodes for our Twitter Q&A ever.
Oh.
A lot of people sent in a lot of Qs to A.
Oh, boy.
So I know we talked on the last show. So Adnan canceled on us.
Right.
Adnan Saeed for our last episode.
And then I told you all I was going to get in touch with Tom Cruise. Yeah. And I did. And he was super excited.
He's a huge gilly.
Yeah,
he loves it.
Right. Thing is, he is currently parachuting out of a blimp over a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in...
Currently.
Literally as we speak. He was like, I can't do it, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be jumping out of a plane. Is there any other time? We tried to find a time.
Was it a plane or a blimp, Demi?
He has a combination plane blimp called a blamp.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
A blaine.
Like David.
Right. Yes. He's the only one in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, hey, can we find a time for you to do this? Every single time that we shoot the show, he's jumping out of a blaine.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find some other time.
Is it possible he's getting jumped by David Blaine?
I would have hoped he would have specified that, in which case I don't know why he schedules it, but...
But he is confirmed for the next episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for 214...
214,
Tom Cruise
will be here.
He's going to be here. Either him or Penelope.
Cruise.
Yeah.
They're related.
They have a lot of control.
However, today...
We have someone...
Better.
Even better.
Yeah, someone who won't risk their life instead of being on our show.
Yes.
La la, la la... Special guest.
Well, guys, you know her from Twitter as @BoobsRadley, one of the best Twitter pun names in the world. You will know her from Grace and Frankie, a Netflix original series premiering May 7th. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Julianne Smolinski.
Hey, guys.
La la.
Smolinski, yeah.
Smolinski.
We're just going to sing your name for the rest of the show.
Do it.
Did you? Thank you for doing the show, by the way.
I'm so happy to be here. My plimp is in the shop.
Oh, your plimp.
Yeah, it's like the knockoff version of a blaine.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like the exhibit show.
No one tell Tom.
A plimp.
Plimp my rod.
Plimp my blood.
Plimp my bride. My bride. My bride.
My bride.
Have you been able to, because you're working on Grace and Frankie, or you have worked, you've rapped?
Yeah, we rapped.
Mm-hmm. On season one?
Yes.
Did you get to write a love scene between Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston?
Or is that a spoiler? I can't tell you that.
Oh. Tell me with your eyes right now, yes or no. Oh my gosh. Well, we have that to look forward to or not look forward to. We'll wait and see. Thank you so much for doing this show. What is your relationship to the show Gilmore Girls?
Oh my God. I love the show. I never saw it while it was on TV, but my sister and I, for a brief period of time, lived in New York together.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Park Slope and she lived on the Upper East Side. And whenever I would get too drunk to ride the subway home, which was whenever we hung out, I would stay in her apartment and we would watch the Gilmore Girls for about 5 hours. So,
oh, that's a great, like, really specific memory.
So it was like a familial thing.
Yes, very much so. And we, like, every time we get together now, we watch the Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
And we're in our 30s.
That's your ritual. That's
yeah,
a great.
It really is.
It ages well, man. I mean, this last episode we did, not really for kids.
No, very much not.
The Richard and Stars Hollow episode. I mean,
A lot of there. I think I was watching the other day. There's an AIDS joke on one of them. I don't know if you guys have gone there yet.
They do a lot of gay jokes.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird gay jokes. There is an Ebola joke.
An Ebola. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was just an Ebola joke.
Yeah.
Man.
There's so, like weird how timely. Kind of Shelf life. Leopold and Loeb and a lot of serial killer stuff.
Peyton Place.
Peyton Place.
The eponymous, the titular Peyton Place.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, let's waste no time further just talking to each other like normal humans.
Not on this show.
Let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 213, A Tisket a Tasket.
Let's start this episode the way we start all episodes with a little segment we call
Pop
Goes the
Culture. A segment where we take every single pop culture reference in this episode, put them together in Supercut, and see what we make of it. So let's do it. Pop Goes the Culture, episode 213, A Tisket a Tasket.
Sorry, guys, don't feel bad. I'm totally into Dungeons & Dragons. You skated.
You know that if you weren't dating Andy Hardy.
Boy in the plastic bubble, kind of careful.
The Fountainhead is a classic.
Yeah, but Ayn Rand is a political nut.
You do, one with a nice couch and a deep knowledge of Freud.
But you're having your vertical from here to eternity moment right in front of the super glue.
You said you wanted to read the Children's Hour.
I did? When?
The other night when we were watching Julia and Jane Fonda was playing Lillian Hellman.
And you will...
Give the painful Ernest Hemingway another chance, yes. Don't walk away like that.
Sorry, I do a silly walk, but I'm not feeling very John Cleese right now.
I feel like Ling Ling the Panda Bear.
Oh, hey, one of them seen Ghostbusters 124 times. Can you say score?
You think this is funny?
Well, it's not Lenny and Bruce routine, but it has its moments.
I'm sorry, when did I move to Salem?
Hey, I'm sorry. Sunset Boulevard was on last night. Problem with authority, and he's seen a lot of Sylvester Stallone movies.
Oh, my God.
I've decided I'm saving myself for William Holden.
Excuse me, Edgar Bergen. I think I like Charlie McCarthy to answer now.
Shut up.
Kind of sums it up for me.
Yeah. When that thing about the Sylvester Stallone movie came on, Milo Ventimiglia was in Rocky Bajillion, whichever one it was.
It was just called Rocky.
It was just called
and
Rocky.
And he was his son.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
That's weird.
I didn't put that together before.
Yeah. Imagine being cast in the movie and like, I've kind of said some things about this movie that you should know.
I bet when he filmed this, he didn't know who Sylvester Stallone was. Just kidding. He probably knew.
They had to spoon feed him all the references.
I mean, sick John Cleese burn.
Oh,
well, it's not a burn.
Do you think
actually.
Jared Padalecki has any idea who John Cleese is?
Yeah. How old is he now?
Now?
Yeah. Like,
he's like,
is he in his 30s?
Yes, children
he's
now.
In his 30s. Okay. But people who look like that didn't watch Monty Python in their teens.
People who look like that.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting
it. People
who
are as beautiful as Dean is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
Are you team Dean?
No, no.
You're team Jess.
I'm team Marty. But that's,
ooh,
you guys haven't gone
we'll get
there
to
yet.
That.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, so, I don't, I was like, I can't, I'm not team Jess.
Yeah.
I'm very publicly not team
You're
Jess.
You're not team Jess?
I'm not.
I can't
I can't. Not right now.
We'll
at
get
least.
Into it about why I hate him.
Yeah, we'll get into it in this episode.
I feel so old when I talk about why I don't like him because I'm just like, he's not good for him. He's not good. He's
but
a bad
he's
boy.
He's not. Dean makes a good point.
He's
well, before
ass.
We get into it, let's do the Netflix synopsis.
Okay.
The annual Stars Hollow picnic basket auction causes romantic complications when Jess outbids Dean to win a picnic lunch date with Rory. That's fine.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, most of them have been.
Some of them are just like
wildly inaccurate.
It's like Emily's in for a scene. It's like Emily visits the town. It's like she's been here
she
for 2 minutes,
there for 20 seconds. So that's pretty.
Why did she? She said the thing about Ghostbusters. Like, oh my god, this guy watches
yes!
the movie. She watches like. The same four movies.
Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah.
Over and
yeah.
Over again.
We got ourselves a Pippi virgin.
What was the one, the movie that they went to see in theaters? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Think Like a Man 2.
Yeah.
I wish.
They love Kevin Hart.
I did see Think Like a Man 2 in theaters.
Did you
What'd
really?
You
and it was, I well, like a man, first
oh
of all.
God.
But second of all, I thought it was great. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. Was it a good movie? I don't know. But guess what? Frasier's in it. Bet you didn't know that.
My mom likes really terrible movies, so sometimes we'll go see like The Dilemma or like Just Right with Queen Latifah.
You liked The Dilemma.
Yeah. I did. That's the problem. I went in and I was like, this sucks. I can't believe I had to see The Dilemma. And I come out and I'm just like, oh.
That was great.
Not that was great. I was like, I guess it's all right. It's like, I can't badmouth it. I enjoyed it. I laughed.
Mm. So, okay. The central conflict of this episode would be, this is the consecrate, well, not consecration. What's the word I'm looking for? This kind of cements the triangle.
Yeah,
though.
It definitely does.
It's definitely not the inciting incident. I don't know. Let me just second guess every single thing I'm going to say right now. But this is where it comes
to a head.
To head.
Yes.
There it
Here
is.
We go.
Oh, we got a professional in the room. Thank God. We're just two dummies.
We are just two dummies.
Two
just a couple
dummies.
Of dummies.
I think this is like the first one where you ever see Rory do something kind of slutty, too, which is kind of a shock.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, emotionally slutty.
Yeah, she definitely commits some emotional adultery, I think.
I think that's a perfect way of putting it, and I agree.
I felt very uncomfortable when she was like, oh, this is Dean calling. Why don't you just have him tell you that, too? And then later on, when they're going to bed, she grabs the phone and calls Jess, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You have feelings for this dude.
That is how the episode ends, and I tell you, the thing that makes that scene for me, besides them just going, you know,
is it him sleeping on a cot
with Luke in a room?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. It'd be funny if you saw like Luke shirtless in the background, just like scrubbing himself.
Who's that on the phone?
Damn it, Taylor. Is the score. Sam Phillips' score is so good in that moment, that particular cue.
Yeah.
And it's why it's such a crime that's not available for like purchase.
It's borderline erotic.
It's erotic.
Yeah.
It's melancholy.
Uh-huh.
It is sensual. It's like the right amount of sad and melancholy, and also like young love and teens and dumb idiots making dumb choices. So, yeah. I mean,
young idiots who are into objectivism, I guess, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was up with the Ayn Rand stuff?
Rory apparently is a big fan of The Fountainhead, which that's, I don't know where
that
came from.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's, a little I don't know if we
the
can
only,
get into that.
The redeeming moment of Jess was him going like, Ayn Rand's politically fucked up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Jess, you got it. Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, but Ernest Hemingway. I was like, oh.
Yeah. And you lost it.
He's that guy. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Actually, this was a Twitter Q&A. You want to do the song, Demi?
Should I do it? You know, I do a new song every time.
Yeah.
Twitter Q&A.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
this comes to us from, I can't find their username, but I'll credit them later.
I love that dude. Is it Poop Doctor?
It's not. No, it's not. You're not welcome to his ass.
There's a guy on Twitter named Poop Doctor who I thought was an actual doctor at one point.
Of poop?
That's what I thought.
Because he told you that he was an actual doctor, and Demi was like, oh, okay.
I was like, okay, that's all it takes. I don't need it. But his bio is, welcome to my ass. And it makes me laugh every time.
Oh, my God. That's probably the best Twitter bio I've ever heard.
It is.
It's not bad, but it's from someone. Who cares? But they said, what do you think of the fact that Jess, one of Jess's favorite spots is the place where Luke pushed him into the lake?
Oh, yeah.
And one of my favorite moments of the show. Like, that's like 205 or something when he first comes to town.
Jess is into some weird shit. I love coming here and just dreaming about the time I got pushed into a lake.
It is an interesting site. I mean, if you...
That little bridge thing?
Yeah, because that's where...
he eats rotten tuna salad or whatever that was.
Whatever that is. What do you think Rory put into that?
Oh, my God.
What did she put into that? And why was she like, Jess or Dean wouldn't have fallen for that? Like, why would you still put that in there?
Why? Yeah, just packing a Tupperware container full of botulism.
Because you see, Jess is a prankster.
Yes.
So Rory played a little prank herself.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't know.
Oh, that's true, because she was expecting Dean.
And also, what if some weirdo is just like, she should have planned for the idea that someone might have outbid Dean.
Yeah.
That's true.
Put rotten tuna in there.
Do you think there is a weird psychology, though, in him revisiting that spot?
But I think she took him there, didn't she? Because she said, come on, let's go.
Oh, so maybe it's actually not psychology at all.
Maybe she brought him there to taunt
a lack
him.
Of locations.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, to taunt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're like, we need to go back to this.
We could do this
she
again.
Said, what's the spot that's the most painful for you? And he said that little bridge thing.
That'd be amazing. That was actually from Joe Rush on Facebook. So thank you, Joe.
Oh, we get Facebook questions?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We get them from all over the place.
Oh, boy.
That's
too much.
Monia? Sorry, Monia.
Monia.
She says, what do you think was in Rory's basket? It looks really weird / unidentifiable.
I thought it was couscous.
Maybe.
And then he ate it, and I was like, couscous isn't that bad.
I thought it was tuna salad. It looked like a big container of like deli-style tuna salad.
It would have made more sense for it to be tuna salad.
We're going to go with couscous tuna salad.
Oh.
Tuna salad with a little couscous in it,
maybe? Just some gruel mixed together.
Gruel.
Yeah.
Does the 213, this is from at Warren White, does the 213 bidding of Rory's basket and the moments by the lake change your opinion of Jess in any way? No, the bidding of the basket cements my opinion of him, that he's a little punk.
He spent $80 just to get back at Dean.
Yeah. Well, where is he getting the money? Is he knocking off Dozy's market?
Yeah, he doesn't really have a job. He lives with, I don't think Luke pays him though, does he?
No. I don't know.
Maybe,
I actually don't
but
know.
It's still
they might
like,
mention that later.
I won't spoil anything for you guys, but he's got a source of income.
Not kidding.
Oh, is he dealing drugs?
Oh, yes, we do get to that later.
Yeah.
We do get to that.
Yeah.
No spoilies.
I totally have this entire series memorized.
That's so good.
It's horrible.
Is
he selling the gnomes he's stealing?
So he, so at Poop Doctor just tweeted this out.
Yeah, yay, Poop Doctor.
Seconds ago, as if he sensed that we were here right now.
He knows.
He says, do you think Rory versus Jess's opinion on Ayn Rand is based in class, as Rory is extremely wealthy and Jess is not? I don't know if she's extremely wealthy, but if they're class, right, and where they came from, because he's rougher, from a rougher side of the tracks.
I don't think her wealth is earned necessarily, Rory. So I don't think that she's like, I think that, well, and she doesn't really have that much money.
They have independence and money.
They have
comfortable on that.
They live in a mansion.
Yeah. Okay. Every time I watch that show, they live in a gigantic house. Yes. Like, how did Lorelai ever afford that?
I don't know. The economics are always in question on that house.
That's true.
But I will say, she does say, like, she concedes to the point that Ayn Rand sucks, like, politics-wise. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, but no one writes a 40-page monologue.
And it's like, which, do you want someone
no,
to?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Except
not
for Amy Sherman Palladino.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Or Aaron Benjamin Sorkin.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There's one book that's like, oh, Inherent Vice, like the last 50 pages are supposedly just all one speech.
Is that real?
Or there's some book that I was talking
is
about
that
with
why
someone
I didn't
recently.
Like that movie?
I didn't see the movie yet.
No spoiler, but it's okay.
Apparently no one understands it. I don't know.
This was such a fun episode because I think just like the Bracebridge dinner plays into like an idealized fantasy of what a small town where everyone kind of knows each other would be like. And it's just like, we had a dinner, then we went on a sleigh and looked at snowmen and then destroyed them.
Yeah.
This is like, we all bid on the picnic baskets and then we just all had lunch with each other. And
this
it was
town
great.
Is bizarre and has unlimited financial resources. Nobody has anywhere to be.
Yeah. But, everyone's just chilling. Yeah. I mean, we'll forgive them. Given that's day, we'll grant the premise that it's a Saturday or a Sunday, maybe. I don't know.
And everyone is obsessed with Lorelai.
Miss Patty.
Who apparently, like, if she sees anyone, she's like, Lorelai, it's time. Like, she makes a beeline. It's like, I gotta get you with my friend.
Oh my gosh.
That sort of made me upset.
Like, that she was carrying a picture of Lorelai in her wallet made you
like
upset.
I would have been more happy with her stalking Lorelai. Then with her just like thinking like if she sees someone she goes, yeah, you'd be perfect for this person I know. Who like Miss Patty just kind of, they're never like inviting her to dinner or anything. She just kind of she's a townie.
Okay, Miss Patty is an unstoppable horn dog.
She is.
And,
we've been talking about how we're
sailing.
She just wants everybody to get as much as she is.
Right.
Her personality. Oh, you think she's currently getting some?
Oh, Miss Patty?
From who though?
I think she's always getting some.
There has to be. I don't know.
Taylor?
Andrew, maybe? Andrew's
Andrew, maybe.
He's my favorite ancillary character. He just shows up and has like two lines.
What are his distinguishing characteristics?
He works at the bookstore. He has big eyebrows. And I don't know.
But I feel like every townie has their thing.
I would love to see her and Bootsy together. I feel like.
Her and Bootsy. I better knock in Bootsy. Right?
That's great.
No, it's fine.
You can tell which one of us in the room writes on Netflix show, which one doesn't. Oh my gosh. And then
she does have the funny line of saying something about like, oh, are these quarters for strippers or something? It's like, oh no, a quarter would be insulting.
It's Patty.
Yeah, she's at least the 20. And that teaser where the picture does fall out. And then they're wandering in Dozie's Market. Dozie's Market. Sometimes.
Let's ask this question. Do you think it's weird that it's spelled like D-O-O-S-E and it's pronounced Dozie?
It has to be like some childhood enemy of the Palladinos or something like that. It has to be a real person.
Yeah. Because
there's no other explanation for why the name Dozie is there. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Because it's very, you think it's like a very uncharacteristic of like the other kind of townie names.
No, just why would you put a name on a television show and then spell it like a crazy person?
If you see it, it
doesn't. Somebody with a ridiculous last name. Yeah, and it's not like, oh, Dozy. That's like a common
Dutch
name.
It looks like Deuce.
It looks like Deuce.
Deucey. I mean,
Dozy.
I'm not unsympathetic. I'm just saying.
Right. It's what it is, but I'm not happy about it.
You know, it had to be like Amy Sherman Palladino had like a weird neighbor of indeterminate sexuality who was really annoying. And it was like Mr. Dozy. Yes. And he was really particular about how he spelled his name. And that's why, you know, something like that. I mean, because otherwise there's absolutely no reason for it to look like that.
We need to call up Amy Sherman. If we ever, ever somehow get her on the show, the first thing I'm going to be like, explain why this is spelled this way.
Yeah. I mean, that's the number one question everyone wants
to know. It really
is. Not where the last four lines of the show, last four words, not lines. Because you know that thing. We've talked about that, right?
Is it... We are Gilmore Girls. And then they look to the camera.
So the thing is, her vision of the show as she was going to end it was very early on in the series, or maybe in the midpoint of the series, she says, I know how it ends pretty much, and I know the last four lines of the show. So when they left in season 7, they didn't get to do the four words.
Right.
It's like the Lost in Translation whisper.
Right.
It's a great mystery.
It is now, yeah, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And she won't reveal it. I mean, hopefully there'll be like a... I mean, if the comeback can come back in Wet Hot American Summer, there's got to be hope for this mm-hmm. show, right?
I don't think the main cast involved would want to come back, though, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe. I don't know.
Could they afford Lauren Graham and yes. Alexis Bledel?
Yes. They could. They could pony up. If Netflix went in and did like six up, call up Ted Sardanos or whatever his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll give
cool.
him a buzz.
If they went in, yeah, they could totally do it. Because who else is a cost? That's the big, those are the big two. And then who else you got?
Keiko Ejena is, I don't know, what is she doing now?
She
does a lot of comedy stuff.
Yeah, she's in a play mm-hmm. with Emily Carota. This was a great Lane episode.
Yes.
I will say that much. I really felt for Lane.
Totally. When she's on the phone
yeah.
and then it all falls apart.
Whoa. I felt so bad, and I know that the solution was tell your mom and that would have ruined things for her, but it's just like I felt really bad when he's like, I've already asked someone else, and then she starts crying, and then she just kind of runs, and her mom just like starts... I hated Miss Kim.
In Ray, the show... aging well, that's one of the things that I think maybe, I don't know if you guys have discussed this before, sometimes I find that Kim's a teeny bit racist.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little
yeah.
bit.
Very much
that
so.
That feels like sometimes...
You I, sure he was Korean? Like,
yeah.
That was the thing. I was very... It seemed like a good opportunity for it to play it real and
yeah.
emotionally grounded, like it does in a lot of other scenes. But then that was like, yeah, was he Korean?
There
Are
was
you
a
sure?
point
it was like a weird going for the laugh thing, and
yeah.
I didn't really agree with it.
There was a point where I thought they were going to play it real because she was like, I don't want you to get hurt by these boys. And I was like, yes, hold on to that.
Yeah.
And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, he sounds Korean. And she just took a far left turn, and it made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Also, a necessary burn on granola. There was granola in Mrs. Kim's basket, and Lorelai was like, ugh, disgusting. Like,
oh,
who
I didn't,
like granola?
I missed that part.
What was
I
in her
granola.
Basket? Like, Pop-Tarts.
It was a Pop-Tart and two
and
Slim Jims.
A Slim Jim, yeah.
Again, Pop-Tarts.
We need to have a button. They literally mentioned Pop-Tarts once an episode.
In the last two episodes,
yeah.
definitely.
Well, Paula Poundstone did punch up on the Gilmore Girls. So.
Is she a big Pop-Tart girl? Oh.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
just
Paula Poundstone
my
used to, like, shill for Pop-Tarts and... That was like a huge part of her act.
Oh, huh. I didn't know that.
You could like, if you collected enough Pop-Tart UPCs, you could send away for a Paula Poundstone tape.
Really?
Which that's what every kid wants.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mommy,
that's a weird
mommy,
memory
I need more
from
Pop-Tarts.
1992. Yeah.
That's
amazing.
That's an end to our mystery of
yeah.
why they love Pop-Tarts
Paula
so much.
Poundstone, we love you. Come on the show.
Yeah, talk about Pop-Tarts.
For some reason. Gosh.
Yeah.
In that moment, we were talking about the grocery store before we got on Doozy. Roy's picking out a basket for her lunch or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
And Dean comes up and goes, not that one. Which, and I wrote this down because it's literally a joke that my dad makes all the time. You choose something, you go, not that one. It's a dad joke.
What, like, saying not that one?
Yeah, not
oh,
that
just
one.
Just to scare somebody?
Totally. And then the other thing I noticed about this scene... More than anything, is Jess's voice. I noticed it for the first time. But you know how, like, guys do it too, but I notice it a lot in girls where, like, they start a sentence, but then they run out of breath. And they kind of croak their sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
a vocal fry
so,
kind of thing.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Jess has, like, a vocal croak thing that
he does
where he's like, for the here to eternity. Like it, he just runs
super
out.
Glue.
What did he need two tubes of super glue for?
Oh, he didn't.
Some
he
sweet
did
prank.
Yeah.
Some sweet prank we've yet to
glue
know
Caesar
about.
To the toilet.
Who, by the way...
Changes. That's not...
Caesar in this episode is a different Caesar than the one we come to know and love and has actual lines and is probably SAG.
Really?
Later in the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing I started thinking about in this episode is when Luke just leaves the diner because Lorelai asks him to
what
do
happens?
Something. What
happens?
There are customers there. Like,
he's constantly just setting down plates to talk to people. This is the worst run diner in the whole world.
That's true.
It's really terrible.
I want to read the Yelp reviews for Luke. Just like, he was pouring me coffee and he wouldn't pay attention because some girl was feeling bad.
And he's just a huge asshole. He's horrible. He's completely and totally. I mean, I love Luke, obviously. He's great.
We were talking about the previous episode. We didn't even talk about Paris coming to town in the last episode.
We did a little bit.
Yeah, but.
Oh, Paris.
About the
her.
Implied sex dungeon.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite part. But he's just immediately just like, what is she talking about? Who is this girl? Get her out.
He was not having it at all.
We have to talk about. Just in general, Jess in this episode, I feel like we haven't touched very much on why it is that Jess does
the things he does.
Yeah. So the first thing we see of him in this episode is him going, "Hey, you gotta stop kissing in front of the super glue." And then Dean turns around and goes, "Jess."
It was like a
that
hello
was a perfect
Newman.
Dean. Yeah, it really was.
He's just. It was funny because he was like, "Oh, is Josie behind me?" He's like, "No." Ah, Jess.
Damn it, Jess.
Right, it's like Jess the worst person in the world to him. Up until this point, he doesn't have that much of a reason to hate Jess. Aside from the one swing, I would just be like, hey man, like, I don't want to talk to you, but like, I guess you're
Yeah,
here.
It'd be more of a passive-aggressive thing.
Right, but he's full on just like, I don't like this guy.
And it is, okay. So we get a lot of hate on Twitter for not being Team Jess for whatever reason.
How could we be at this point?
I'm sorry, but if you've never like loved a Jess before, you can't be Team Jess.
Loved a Jess. What would be the I've never been a Jess? I'm a good boy.
I know. Out of both of us, Gilmore guys.
Yeah,
it's weird to refer to us as that. Yeah. It's like gotta stay on brand. But it's like, I mean, we're deans, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
If it's between Dean and Jess, we're deans.
You guys have way more personality just from what little I know of you.
We're season one deans.
Dean's whole personality is like, okay.
Yeah. But his personality is like that. And yes, he doesn't know Bjork. But everything he's saying to Lorelai is on point. It's like, oh yeah, I think he's trouble, and Rory might get in trouble. Which, spoiler alert, maybe she does.
I think the most
hanging out with Dean, with Jess.
Oh, I'm sure she does. Because if she never gets in trouble, then
bad things are coming.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing about Dean that people don't realize when we're like Teen Dean is from an outside perspective, we're supposed to care about Rory and Lorelai, and Dean respects both of those people way more than Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but does. When. It makes my skin crawl when they kiss. And not because either one of them. They're both very attractive people.
Of course.
But when they're in the grocery store together and Dean is like, hey, is anybody, is Taylor looking? And Rory's like, no. And then he kisses her. You could tell that they're both like, no. Like internally.
Oh, you think the actors are like, ugh.
Well, I think it's just because like Alexis Bledel is beautiful, but I don't think that she's necessarily like pulsating with teen sexuality in like a MTV Teen Wolf kind of way.
Sure.
So I think
she
Jess
doesn't
has
look
that.
Like she's 28 years old.
Yeah, Jess has that like kind of like I'm creeping around and I'm gonna like steal your innocence kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And whereas Dean is like kind of sexless in a way.
Sexless.
Like if we don't kiss, that's fine.
Not that you guys are sexless because you're Deans, but
she called us sexless,
no,
Demi.
No,
this is the best episode of
oh,
our
God.
Pot now.
An on air. Emotional castration from Julianne Spinski.
No, just Dean
That's
is,
the
you know,
gonna get
he's,
pulled out.
He's, he's too respectful. He's too respectful, I think.
Too respectful to the because I like the way he relates to Lorelai. It's something I really appeal to in my mind over and over again is like.
Good with moms?
I think that's.
No, it's fine. But like, if you're like. People like you because you change their porch light or like you change their water. That's Dean is always doing something around the house for them. And
this,
that's like.
This is the Oedipus complex episode
I think so.
Of the show.
This is probably a lot of like my own issues. But that's like.
I will say that Jess makes me like just constantly feel like. like not even like a peer of theirs. I'm just looking down at them, just like an old person. Like, I don't like the way you are around that girl. That's really the most of the reason that I don't like Jess. And there's nothing cool about him. Like, he tries to be cool, but it's like he just kind of breaks stuff to make Rory like him.
Okay, he has great hair, first of all.
Okay, well, let's get into the fashion report.
Yeah, okay,
because this is important. Okay, here we go. Fashion. Okay, so Jess's hair.
Thank you.
Jess's hair in this episode is messed up.
Oh, yeah.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. No, it's like he just got out of the shower and then went outside. Like, like nothing.
Jess, we need you on set right now. We're
like
losing sunlight.
It just drips, drops down.
Yeah.
Like, it's not tall in the way it was in other episodes, in that kind of like disheveled 78 Springsteen sort of way.
Which, that's a great.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten pictures on Twitter side by side, 78 Springsteen,
wow.
2002 Jess Marianne.
That's that probably what story. Does it for so many people.
Well, Springsteen does it for me.
Yeah.
On a deeply sexual level. Uh-huh. But that doesn't mean I like Jess. Yeah.
If Springsteen was like, you should get into Hemingway, you would probably not be attracted to him anymore.
What?
If he sang it. You should get into Hemingway.
Get into Hemingway. Then, that might affect things
a little
bit. If
he had a song about coming home from a factory and reading beat poetry, he would be way less attractive. He would.
That's true.
Throw Ayn Rand in the fireplace.
I mean, basically. I mean, a lot of it.
We take care of our own.
That's very true, actually. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot like that.
Oh, man. Is Bruce Springsteen just Jess?
Wouldn't that be amazing, though? If they made a biopic, I've said this before, if they made a biopic of Springsteen, he might be past the point now.
Where did Jess come from? Was it New Jersey?
It was New York. He came from New York.
Yes.
Yeah. So, same diff. Yeah.
But he was supposed to be, his mom's in Venice, his dad's in Venice.
Oh, well, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, yeah.
As it stands right now, and they changed the continuity of this. Because as it stands right now, Jess's dad left Jess's mom 2 years ago.
Okay.
They changed that fact later in the show, and it becomes a longer amount of time. But that's why it was so ridiculous when we were talking to Ben Rogers about it, and it was like, yeah, he left 2 years ago. Sorry, you're already an adult. Like, and his mom's kind of estranged. She's just sucks at being a mom. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet?
Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Other fashion things, Suki's pink frilly sleeves are pretty horrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I didn't know.
I like her hair, though. Her hair's cute.
Her hair's great. Yeah,
it's a good color.
Oh, we need to talk about all the Jackson Suki stuff, guys.
Does Jackson ever not wear that hat?
Yeah, he's kind of like the Edge from U2 in that sense.
Exactly like the Edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He can always be seen
playing guitar.
All he
needs is like diamonds on his flannels.
And his real name is Jackson in real life?
His real name in real life is Jackson
that
Douglas.
That can't be a coincidence. Yeah. That can't be.
They were just
married
like,
to Alex Bornstein.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Husband
That's
wife.
Fantastic.
Which is funny because you were saying that Alex Bornstein was
the original Suki.
Man.
Also,
that
someone
a very different show.
Someone reminded me of this fact.
Do you think Alex Borstein would be where Melissa McCarthy is now if that was the case?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Yeah.
For a
She's
variety
been on
reasons.
The show though, hasn't she?
She plays two different characters on the show.
They That's do that right. a lot.
She's yeah. Drella the harpist, and then she's like a weird wardrobe costume person or like fashion person.
I want to see her be like the Lady Kirk, where she just every role.
that'd be amazing. And there are more multiple role. Actors coming up on the show.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. And more Seth MacFarlane universe people, which is...
Oh, boy. Yeah, and Seth MacFarlane.
And Seth MacFarlane, which is super weird.
Does he sing jazz?
No, but you know what? He's got a great voice, and he really could.
Yeah.
Lois.
What's that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. That was a...
Lois. That's my Seth MacFarlane.
Lois.
What just happened there?
Boy. I'm freaking sweet.
Are we done with the fashion report? Anything else to point out?
Yeah,
I have a complaint.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. Rory's weird chenille flower shirt thing.
Which one?
It was like a pink shirt with like a raised flower on it. But like tactile, it looks like a fuzzy flower.
Really?
It looked like a child's shirt.
That sounds like a 90s
small
thing.
Baby's
she
shirt.
Wears a lot of
That's
shirts.
What she was wearing like during the auction and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. It looks like something from like a literal like toddler's.
Like Baby
oh,
Gap?
No.
Yeah, it's Baby Gap. Well, worse than Baby Gap.
When like. Rory is not wearing her school clothes, she wears a lot of, oh
yes.
boy.
But
We're
the,
looking at
the rose
shirt
part of it
right
is
now.
Fuzzy.
It
looks mm-hmm. like the Jamba Juice logo.
It does look like the Jamba Juice logo.
I mean, listen, they did have a sponsorship.
Pop-Tarts and Jamba Juice.
But
Rice
then
Aroni.
The wardrobe guy put a jacket on. They lost all the money because you couldn't see the words Jamba
That's why
Juice.
This episode takes place entirely in the town square. Mm-hmm. There's... Anytime Rory is not in her school clothes, she's sort of wearing like some weird flower or like plant pattern shirt. Like in the previous episode, she's just wearing like a green shirt that has leaves on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird. So weird.
She wears a lot of very kind of infantile looking stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess they're not going to put her in like a crushed velvet dress or anything.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not really.
Lorelai's wearing a lot of strong pinks too, which I don't. She always.
In this episode?
Yeah. There's, because I'm imagining when she gets pulled away and she says the thing about, like, I'm really into Dungeons & Dragons, you guys skated, which was a weird line.
Oh, it's like totally pink. It's like a maroon.
I'm blind.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of this show. I don't know how I was imagining pink.
She was kind of, you know, speaking of the outfits, when she's wearing the black ballet top at dinner with Emily, she's kind of a jerk. She's a little bit of a pouty lady.
What?
Oh, just in general.
Yeah. That scene was like, you're not very likable here. Can't you be nice? your daughter and your mother?
Lorelai's likability is, I hate to say
it's dropping. I want to make a chart.
It's tanking.
Yeah. I mean, I love her, obviously, but...
Right. I mean, she's enjoyable, but her likability...
True.
And maybe that's, like, a hard word to apply to such a nuanced character, but her likability is...
I didn't like the thing of her, when she was at dinner with Emily, and Emily was like, I agree, and she's just like, oh, God, gross. Like, she essentially, like, starts not liking her position because Emily is just like, I think you're right.
Well, no, she agreed with her initially. They did find some common ground, and that was very heartwarming. I think we're done with the fashion report, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Fashion. I did agree with her, like, when she agreed at the beginning, but then when Emily started going bonkers bananas, like, throw away the key, lock her up, blah, blah, blah.
See, I thought that Emily was saying, like, crazy stuff on purpose to make Lorelai, like, I thought it would come back to her, and she would just be like, that'll teach you or something, like...
Oh, you thought it was, like, a manipulation?
Yeah, because when she was saying throw up and lock away the key, I was like, Emily, you can't possibly... really think that, right?
I think so. And that's actually what disappointed me, unlike the conflict in the last episode with Richard and Lorelai, where Richard has points, even though they're like ill executed and received. Emily is kind of a straw man in this.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she goes to the nth degree to be like, yeah, just like chain her up. Like, and
kill
her.
But if you think about it, like,
kill her.
She had to be, like, Lorelai had to be a mega whore because she talks about in this episode, like, I remember when I was hiding men from my mother. She got pregnant when she was 15, 16? 16.
Mm-hmm. 16.
So, how many men is she hiding in her closet? Like, what 15 year old?
I'm imagining like an Odyssey style thing when she comes home and there's a bunch of dudes in the foyer just waiting.
A lot of dudes in the foyer. Maybe.
I guess if you're in that kind of situation, then I would be like, well, although, you know, I think that there's like a recurring thing with like, don't let Rory get pregnant like you would, but
there is, and
which is really weird.
It is really weird, and it's kind of sad because I feel like everyone who knows Rory is like, oh, that's not gonna happen. But
does it?
But the thing is, like, with Lorelai, they could probably, not to say, like, see it coming, but, like, she's very different from Rory was at that age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, to say, like, don't let her get pregnant like you did is, like...
I think it's just any time Rory even grazes the edge of danger, because she's such a, not a goody-goody, but she's such a legitimately
good...
She's Matilda.
She's a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she, like... She's not obnoxious about it, I would say.
No.
But whenever she does anything that even kind of grazes the set of like danger, like staying out and not calling after the dance in season one, like that's Emily's panicked go-to. Like, oh, she's going to get pregnant just like you, blah, 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 da, da, da. So it comes from a psychology of that, I think.
But it's so quaint. Like, the show isn't that old, and we're all freaked out about like teens having sex.
Right.
I think it, and I wonder if that's a function of what television was like at that point in time.
Oh, maybe.
Because it was 2000, so it was 15 years ago.
It was before The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
It was poor, you know, like all those fourth graders having sex on MTV.
Right.
What was that show? Skins.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was before that.
Yeah.
So obviously it was less explicit and, you
fourth
know.
Fourth graders.
Or whatever.
No,
I don't know.
It's like the high schoolers are all having more sex than you show.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
what it was called.
That was the tagline.
Yeah.
Skins is
very pointed. They said my name.
You, Demi Adejuive.
Specifically.
Here's a picture.
But I didn't like that moment because of that, because I just thought it was too over the top of him.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Kirk?
Let's talk about Kirk.
The saddest boy in all of Stars Hollow.
Kirk.
What a sad boy.
I wanted to cry for him if he weren't such a dork.
Yeah.
Like, in general.
Did you find the pretzel basket distracting? The whole time I was like, some prop master.
I wasn't distracted by that.
I could see was the baguette that Kurt had to sniff. I keep calling him Kurt.
Kurt?
Kirk. Kirk?
Kirk.
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 Kirk?
This podcast is reaching a new high.
This is the
Kirk.
This is the ASMR episode for people who just love us hearing Kirk. Kirk.
But he's a sad boy.
he's so
sad.
Oh my god, when he's like, just because you have a boy or a girlfriend to make you a basket, I was like, oh, this is gonna take a turn.
I think there was a continuity thing here too. Does Kirk always have 12 siblings?
I don't know about that, because that was out of nowhere. Like, and that seemed inconsistent with
the
rest of
the show.
Why do his parents hate him so much?
His parents?
Where they're like 12 siblings, all of them got a basket. Except for me.
Maybe it's not a continuity thing, and Kurt I almost said Kirk. Kirk is lying to gain sympathy from Jackson.
Oh, that's possible.
I would like that way better because the idea of Kirk, God, it's so weird. Wow. Of Kirk being just like the saddest person alive, mm-hmm. and like yeah. everyone not liking him, and him also being a dork, and him being made fun of for having asthma, just all of these things. Like, I'm just like, I feel bad for this guy. I can't laugh at him anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
he's pretty great, that Kirk.
We love $250.
Kirk.
Sean Gunn, we love you.
Yeah.
Just come on the show.
Come on the show. I think he, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that.
We got to stop.
I know. We can't, yeah. We can't promise the moon and deliver. Right.
It's
stars.
Crazy how Alexis Bledel is going to be on every episode of the first season.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If we get her, anyway. Well, dude, off mic discussion.
We've been texting her, remember?
Yeah.
She was supposed to come on every episode of the first season, and then she couldn't make it every single time.
She kept canceling.
Yeah.
She got pregnant. But I don't think she actually got pregnant.
No, I think she
had parties. She went skydiving.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise.
She jumped out of a plane.
A plane?
Everyone's jumping out of planes before coming on our show.
Hey, planes before trains. On a train. On a lore. 109. I'm just turning into Rain Man.
You're just rambling.
Amazing scatting there.
Skip out there on a train, on a plane.
One of my favorite lines was... I don't even remember the context of what Emily was talking about, but it's in that dinner scene in Act 4. And she describes something as smelling like a flop house. Do you guys remember that?
Richard's
cigar. Oh, after the cigar. Yeah.
That's why I felt so bad for her, because she's working her ass off and Lorelai and Roy are giving her nothing. And she's telling like funny anecdotes and they're just staring and pouting at each other.
Isn't it weird that they're... So the previous episode ends with Richard just being sad and like he's sort of accepted his obsolescence and mm-hmm. is just kind of like sitting in this chair and he's like, oh, I guess I don't know what to do with myself now. Everyone hates me. And then the resolution in this episode, instead of seeing him, we just hear... He's joined a cigar club.
Oh, I didn't think about like continuity of that's his purpose.
Yeah.
And that's what he found. And you know, it's funny, and this is getting ahead, but the, you know, the shots of all the cast in the theme song, and you see like Richard has a newspaper and blah, blah, blah. Starting season 5 or 6, it changes to him smoking a cigar.
Really?
Oh, that's right. That's when he grows the mustache, right? Yep. I think that's that because they didn't want people to be like, wait, who is this?
Yeah,
because that's not the man with the mustache.
Yeah, they update all those shots to much better shots later on. Except for Lauren Graham's. I think hers always stays the same.
It's just her running down the stairs, putting her hair in a ponytail, right?
Yeah, and dancing in the kitchen.
God, it's so scary that I know that. That's awful.
That's not awful. I mean, you've seen that a lot.
I have seen
There's 153 episodes and you've seen it. How many times over? Then you've probably seen that shot 500 plus times.
I probably have. Yeah. And I don't really watch the last season because...
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Julie, I cannot wait to get to that season.
We are in such a... We have to cover it.
Yeah.
I don't want to because I've never seen it.
I would love to because I hear it's awful and I just want to...
I just feel like it's going to be painful and not in a fun way.
Oh, I want it to be us just like every episode's 1 out of 10. It's like the Def Jam comedy roast of Gilmore Girls. Us just complaining
the
about
Def
everything.
Def Jam comedy roast.
It's going to happen, and I feel bad for you guys.
I can't wait.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Come on the show and cry with us over how bad
the
show
is. Oh my God, we should have all the people who love the show come on.
Yeah, people who are like legit into it.
Yeah. Just be like, why did you make me do this?
It'd be a real exercise
of
disappointment.
Ben Rogers, is the first person I'd say who's just flat out just been like, this show sucks. I'm so upset that I had to watch this.
The first thing he said is, I hated it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's sad.
I liked that sort of disparity. It was a fun episode, but at the same time, I would love to have him on for season 7. Him just be like, I like this one.
This was perfect.
Demi, this is like for you. Like, have you ever showed somebody for the first time the Godfather movies who hasn't seen them? And then you're like, you're going to want to watch Godfather 3, but don't. Do it.
Right.
Because it'll ruin the whole experience.
It is the Godfather 3.
It is the Godfather 3 of television.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's real bad.
It's Community season 4.
Yeah. West Wing season 5 through 7.
Parks and Rec season 1.
Kind of.
Yeah. Parks and Rec season 1's all right.
Yeah. And then, okay. And here's one other thing I want to get out about Jess and Dean. It's just weighing on my chest. So
go for it. Get that off there.
People often cite Dean. And maybe it's not up until this point, but let's just judge all the actions up until this point on the show and with the information that we know as the viewer in episode 213 as manipulative somehow. But isn't it so much more of a manipulation on Jess's part to be doing these things and obviously wooing Rory and, like Lorelai says, weaseling himself into her life?
Wait, people think Dean is manipulative?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he talked to her mom.
That's a little
unless
weird.
I have a heroin problem, don't talk to my mom.
But I get it, though.
No, really?
I do.
Oh, my God.
I don't think this is a thing.
But I get it. And here's what I think about it, too. I think about it this way. It's like he's talking to her best friend. So I look at it through that prism because they're best friends, Lorelai and Rory.
You know how he did it, though? He was like...
I will say...
That's Dean. That's Dean in a nutshell.
I think Dean is controlling. Yeah. I don't think he's manipulative. I think he's outwardly like, I don't want you talking to that guy. When if someone said that to me, I'd just be like, what the fuck? Like, fuck you. I'm talking
to control.
That dude.
I see the control.
Yes. Also, okay, anybody who does the storm off... I can't deal with it.
Right. When did he... In this episode?
Yeah, where she's like, I would never hurt your feelings. And he's like, you just did.
Yeah, let's talk
it's
about...
basically the line from Pretty issues. Woman. Where, like, I never treated you like a whore.
You just, man.
Yeah.
Man.
Pretty Woman. I will say... Well, let's get into Rory's emotional adultery in this episode. Because this is the first time we're really seeing the cracks of her character. Because she has been such a goody-goody. Mm-hmm. And what Jess reveals is like, you know what? No, she's not.
Should I sing the theme song for Emotional Adultery?
Yep.
Yes.
Emotional Adultery.
Perfect.
It's beautiful.
That old classic.
Flawless. I love it. I love that she's finally not the perfect girl anymore.
Yeah.
And again, I love what Jess does. I just don't love Jess.
Right.
Like, I'm saying what Jess does on a story level, not freaking putting pornographic videos on Babe and Dumbo.
Oh, my God.
Which is what he did in the last episode.
Oh, my God.
After the censorship debacle in the video store.
Oh, wow.
He spliced
He's an awful, awful person.
Dick pics into the...
That's pretty terrible. That's very antisocial.
Imagine Jess, like, reading books on edit and, like, I'm going to put some dicks in this Babe DVD just to mess with kids. And he's, like, reading, like, Final Cut for Dummies or something.
That's a sociopath right there, pretty much.
Agreed.
Do you think, though, that this is kind of lacking in realism? Because... do guys like Jess actually like want to go out with a girl who's like, I'm reading the dictionary?
I would want to go out with Rory. I don't know if I would want to go out with dictionary girl.
Yeah. That's kind of Rory, though. Like, Rory, you know, is not going to like put out, though.
Right.
Like,
that's not the most important thing.
But is it
but
for
if
the
you're
kind
Jess,
of Jess?
If you're,
oh, if you're Jess.
If you're somebody who's
splicing
dick pics into Babe, I feel like he's from the big city. He's probably been around.
And maybe he's been around. Maybe that's the maybe that's the thing about Jess's character that so many people do find appealing is that he's not after sex, ultimately. Like, he is pursuing the person that Rory is, and he does appreciate that and the things that she's into in her world. And
that's
her,
true.
Her world of books and her personality. Like, it isn't like, I just need some poontang, because he could get that anywhere at any time.
He's so handsome.
But I feel like that's such like a construct that like a lady would make. Like, he's a bad boy, but he doesn't want to get in my pants. He just likes me for me, and he wants to read books together.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But would that exist? If Jess was a real person, I would say no. I guess it wouldn't exist. That he would not want to get into her pants. Yeah.
I don't think the kind of guy who's like, I'm going to destroy that other team snowman so that you can win is not thinking about, like, if I destroy that snowman, I'm going to fuck. I'm going to kick that snowman over and then immediately head over to her house.
Coming to steal your girl. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
On my way.
He's just, like, fucking kicking the snowman, singing, like, yes, it's time. It's go time.
I know any time I've ever destroyed a snowman.
You immediately go and buy condoms.
Yep.
Yeah.
Snowman first, condom second.
All right, I got this bat.
Snow dad's better than no dad. Hashtag Jack Frost.
No,
Michael Keaton.
No. How many times have we talked about Jack Frost on the show now?
Once. Well, just once.
Really? Have we not talked about it before?
I don't think so.
Is that the actual tagline for that movie?
Yeah.
Snow Dad is better than No Dad. Or they do say it at one point in the movie. I forget.
I feel like I talk about Jack Frost a lot for someone who's never seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of stuff we need to cover. Should we go around the horn, give it a rating?
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
For the record, we rate just...
For the record.
Just so people
just so
know.
Okay, good.
For Wikipedia. We do ratings basically out of 10. We just rate it with like something out of the episode, like 5 out of 10 cups of coffee or whatever. And
but not cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And no one's ever done that, which is great.
Yeah. I mean,
unless it's for a finale.
Right. I don't even know what I would do in this because I can't do Pop-Tarts. That's almost as free as cups of coffee.
Uneaten hamburgers.
Yeah.
Which drove me crazy.
Well, save it until you rate it. All right. Save it till you rate it. That's what I was saying.
I'm going to say this episode is 6 out of 10 tins of old tuna. Or Tupperware containers of old tuna.
Of mystery tuna?
Yeah, mystery tuna couscous.
Fair enough.
I think it was a good episode. I think it was lacking in a lot of things that gave a lot of episodes heart. I don't think mm-hmm. that I could take anything out of this episode that I'd be like, this was the moment that I loved that made me feel for anyone. I don't... There's
you know
no
what?
Dynamic shifts.
We didn't talk about Jackson Tsuki freaking getting engaged.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Right.
How did
that's
we gloss
let's
over
Let's go
that.
Back
Sorry.
For a second. Oh, fuck my rating.
Yeah.
I felt so bad when Tsuki didn't pick up on Jackson's hint, you know?
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was pretty obvious when he's like, yeah, my rent's... The first thing I think was, oh, okay.
Oh, when she was completely oblivious in the kitchen. Yeah.
Some like part of me is like, oh, she was just busy, but like still.
Do you think that was willful?
What do you mean? Like she was not.
She just didn't hear him because she's such a strong, independent woman that she's. Maybe she's a commitment phobe.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it was her just being flighty.
Yeah.
I think it was, because they've established her flightiness before.
Because she seemed sad when he was saying that they shouldn't live together later, because mm-hmm. I think she just didn't think of it. But then, when they get engaged, what a casual way to get engaged. Like, yeah, I don't think we should live together. I hope she says the alternative. Like, if the conversation didn't go the way that he wanted, he would have never
What if she
engaged.
She just immediately slapped him and ran away before he could say, no, we should keep... Oh, okay.
Wait.
She bludgeoned him with a chutney.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wait, I was tricking you.
But it was a prank.
It was a prank.
Man, everyone's doing pranks now that Jess is in town. It's contagious.
It's April Fool's in Stars Hollow.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
So, yeah, that's a sweet moment. I wrote down it's the most romantic, not romantic proposal. Because it's so full of heart, but it's not an extravagance.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's like it's such a logical.
Wasn't he like eating an apple too or something? Like, what should you do there? Yeah. No, I don't think we should live together. You know what? You know why, Suki?
It's okay. We haven't talked about that a lot.
What?
The True Blood connection. Because sometimes.
Oh, two Sukis?
Well, sometimes guests who haven't seen the show before mm-hmm. come on the show and pronounce the name. So then.
Suki.
Yeah, they say, so then Suki, or they don't say Suki, but they say like more than Suki, which is her name, they say Suki.
Yeah, Suki.
Oh, it's Suki.
Which is a fine distinction.
I always feel like Suki. Now you got me doing it. I always feel like Suki is a wait. Which one's the right one?
Suki is
Suki.
The right one.
Suki.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I always feel like Suki is a nickname.
It's not.
I know, but it just feels. Maybe it's like a small town thing, but it feels like a nickname more than an actual name.
I'm gonna give this episode 7 out of 10. Baskets. Was that creative enough?
That
I think
really
so.
Creative.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 baskets. Enjoyed it. Loved the Jackson Tsuki stuff. Liked the development with the triangle. I liked the tear that it ultimately involved in Lorelai and Rory's relationship. It all felt true. It was emotionally resonant, but it wasn't amazing. But it was a nice, like, let's all hang out in Stars Hollow for a day episode, which is most of them, probably.
Yeah. I like the episodes where,
you're just chilling.
There's too many, like, this town has way too many traditions. They have, like, a tradition every week.
Yeah.
That's just obviously an excuse for them to have some sort of event that will create conflict. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I lived in this town, I'd just be like, I can't keep spending money on things. Like,
I'm going broke.
Taylor. Yeah. We just had a fire, like, a torch festival or something.
All right.
I'm going to give it 9 out of 12
Ooh.
Kirk siblings.
True.
Possibly imaginary and later dispensed with Kirk siblings.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really nice moments, and we actually got to see Luke kind of like Lorelai in this one. There's a part we didn't really even discuss that.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Luke and Lorelai.
This is nice
stuff.
When they're eating together, and you're like, oh, I forget that they actually are friends as opposed to just two people who hassle each other.
Because they're totally emotionally functioning.
Yeah.
As a couple.
Yeah.
They do. We should talk. I mean, they're just emotionally, functionally in love.
Yes.
Even though they're not literally physically.
And anytime Luke expresses an emotion other than grouchy, I think it's a nice color for his character.
Mm-hmm.
Just a
limited palette.
Yeah. Limited palette. So, I liked that. I thought the proposal was sweet. Everything. And I also, I just love any kind of Dean Jess conflict.
Yeah.
I feel like we're
and it's about to heighten.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Oh, really?
You know what Dean wished was in that picnic basket?
What?
Nice chicken.
Oh, God. I didn't even see it coming. I feel like I had a sound clip of something Miss Patty said for this episode that I just didn't pay attention to. Let me see what it is.
Well, I'll start plugging stuff. Oh, well, you want to do that?
Yeah.
I understand.
Oh, no, yeah, it was when Michelle was on the phone and he just keeps going,
I understand.
Because the way he says it is like, I understand.
I understand. It's like one word.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weirdo. I love Michelle.
Love him. Love that little Frenchie. Sorry. That sounded like a slur.
It really did.
that fucking
Frenchie.
Frenchie.
Well, Julianne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was a delight.
This has been truly delightful for us, too.
Very much so.
Have a full-on gilly. Plugs. Where can we find you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LiveJournal?
LiveJournal, as a matter of fact. Okay. No, I'm Boobs Radley at... I always say at twitter.com, like it's an email. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm at Boobs Radley on Twitter.
Right. There it is.
Yeah, there we go. Nailed it. And watch Grace and Frankie on Netflix.
I'm so stoked for that, man.
It's going to be really fun.
I just love any show where it's like, man, these are just like literally some of the best actors alive.
and they're going to bone each other.
Yeah, and they're all going to bone.
Yeah.
They're all going to the bone zones.
Yeah,
Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, freaking Martin Sheen,
Sam Waterston.
Brooklyn Decker.
Dexter.
Dexter.
I hardly know her.
Well, you can check me out at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter.
Oh, now I ruined it for you, too. It's really hard. It's in your head.
On Twitter, on Instagram.
I'm at Barack Obama on Twitter and Facebook.
True.
Yep.
This is a fun prank you've been pulling for the last 7 years.
Have I been saying, do people think I'm the president? No, that's me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Barack Obama.
You can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Email us stuff at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com, and we'll read them on Gilmail Guys or
Emaily Gilmail.
The best pun in the world. And follow us on Twitter at Gilmore Guys Show.
Yeah, and you
tweet
can actually
us
follow me at Electro Lemon.
I bet we'll fave you if you tweet us.
We might.
I don't want to promise too many crazy things. But obviously, Julianne, you know the song pretty well, so this part's going to come pretty naturally.
Hit it.
Here we go.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow
you on Twitter
anywhere. That you tell me to.
This is about social media.
You need me to retweet you. I will follow.
Fave my
tweet. Where you tweet.
Where you tweet, I will follow.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Why have we not thought this?
That you tell me to. If you need. You need me to retweet you. I will follow.
Where you tweet.
God, it's like being in the room with two Weird Al's. Great.
Best compliment ever.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye.
I like that song.